Blog Talk Radio.
Masonic effects. It's a good day to be a Mason, gentlemen. It's an absolute good day. A lot of questions, a few answered. I hope you're doing well. Masonry's thriving right now. And as we see the agitation and turmoil that the world seems to be facing and going through, some of us, you reach a certain age, I must admit, we'll have the sense that we don't learn our lessons. We don't learn from history. Some of our friends will tell us that we've forgotten our history, and as long as we keep our history alive, we will never forget, and therefore we will not repeat it. But that doesn't seem to be holding true right now. Perhaps it's the nature of man to be tribal and war with one another. Perhaps it's the nature of the human psyche to accept the possibility of domination, to the colonialist mentality that brought many of us to these parts of the world came at a cost. We're holding that cost at arm's length right now, and we're examining it, and it's not something that's very favorable. The wealth is predicated on enormous amounts of poverty. And the interesting part, I think, driven by Masonic ideals and values, is this question: can we do better? Or perhaps this assertion by old men: we must do better. We can do better, but we must. Today, more than ever, masonry is needed. The world needs more masonry. But to think that the chatter and the vitriol is going to come to an end because of these opinions is naive. We have, that's the work that we do, we have before us. So here I sit, the 27th of November, 332nd day of the year. I'm going to sip something here. Delish. Now, if you are sitting back in your comfortable seat, or tilting the seat back in the SUV as you drive along, or putting your feet up on the recliner, putting on headphones, wrap your fists tightly around a beverage that seems to go with the moment, and let's talk. Let's talk about things Masonic, just for a little brief moment in your very active, busy week. Here at Ground Zero. I've just come back from a very amazing experience in a particular rite of masonry. Because I'm going to discuss it, it's probably better that I leave too any details to the imagination. Okay, but It's along that line that it's vitally important that you and I sort out where we're living. Are we living in the past, in the present, or the future? And yeah, it bloody well matters. Here's something else that matters. This is just to let you stretch out a little bit and realize just how good life is. This is a song called The Nearness of You. It's by the Walter Blanding Quartet. Check it out. How can you not be affected by that kind of music? Thank you. Thank you, Walter. That's remarkable. Remarkable. We have need to talk. Do you ever find that at times, maybe when you're alone, or maybe when you're here with me on Masonic Effects, you can let sink into the effects and values of Masonry? And think about things that might embarrass if you were in lodge. These are the things that are on the minds of good Masons. But truthfully, we can't really assume that everybody in the room can handle that kind of intensity or has the ability. You know that if you do the math, we let a lot of people in to Masonry based on a hope, a conjecture, a hope that they have the intelligence and the skill and the drive and the appetite to search for a deeper meaning. Doesn't mean that it's a slam dunk guarantee, as they say. It's a hope. And then we, I think, don't have a place discarding those folks that can't, as if they're just ever so much firewood, throwing them back in a pile. Those folks do busy work. And there's lots of busy work around lodges. We've been enormously unbalanced, I guess. You can tell that when you're around most lodges, there's been complications or confusion about leadership. Nobody seems to be in charge. There's just no management. It's more like a free-for-all, sort of a teetering on, do we form a union with my ego is bigger than your ego, or I have more credibility because of a birth line, or I've been in this neighborhood. You know, there's all these claims to authenticity, all of them ridiculous. But it's what separates men on the street in daily life from broad range thinkers. The broad range thinkers often don't take the minutiae, these kind of details, into account. It's what's happened with the massive migration in Europe. Oh, we have some intense little fellow running around Turkey making threats, just at a time when we don't need threats. He's going to release hundreds of thousands of migrants to flood Europe. Am I the only one on the planet that's sort of amazed that, or not amazed, that Europe has such appeal? Europe spring isn't over. People are packing up and saying, that's it. I can make a better life for myself in Germany or France or Britain. Well, son of a gun. The polls have said it, and now we're getting this sort of backlash. Old history. You know, there's nations that reveal their racist roots remarkably and repeatedly, as if their xenophobia is a dish that they're addicted to. Rigidity. Put up some barbed wire. We'll keep all of these folks moving through. We'll make their misery move off our land. Well, it is curious. What has happened to the Arab nations? It's not a derogatory question. This was an era. There were eras where the sciences and arts were enriched because of the mullahs and the sultans. Suleiman is a great leader and general who pushed back on an atrocity we call the Crusade. An atrocity. It makes about as much sense as the, you know, the destruction of the monasteries. That was about what, 1593, something like that. Makes about as much sense. Erebus, greed. Are you going to put an end to Jacques de Molay? All right, then the character may be a composite. I don't think it is. I think he's the real deal. But the story behind his torture and death is scarily, hauntingly real. The motive, greed. Power. I don't find that disheartening. The evil that was done to him, I find, is a benchmark for the evil that lingers around us. But before we pull a blanket tightly over our heads and shiver in our beds with the lights off as if we were schoolboys, evil get stared down by the likes of us every single time. Oh, they can make up some fantastical story. They can try to convince us that we're weak and should surrender. They, the propagandists, and they're on all sides. This is government. Those notions of propaganda that came out of the First World War have been making merchants wealthy since that time. governments use this, we don't call it propaganda, it's this distribution of information. The other side uses propaganda. We distribute information to the people. Tomato, tomato. So governments everywhere have been using this to develop opinion that is consistent with a particular doctrine decided by a people of elected office, influenced by people of power. I don't know if the days of the Greek nations are over, where the very intelligent, the philosophers were sought out. What you and I know isn't the fullness of Greece. We know that what they did about Plato, and most of us probably should, particularly Masons. If you want to read The Republic, my goodness. Of all of the tomes that have a bearing on Masonry, Plato's Republic is key to that all. I know that some of us may not have had the privilege of sitting down in study halls, having an expert take us through the material. Now, that expert will be your computer screen and will rely on your imagination. You can study the arts. You can study the intricacies of poetry and literature, all of the arts, and the sciences for that matter. The drive, is the curiosity. Today more than ever, Masonry is needed in the world because it's a stabilizing factor. And I say that not because I think that it clings. I don't think, oh my goodness, I don't think that we are a huge 3 million populated reenactment of something that went on from the 14th to the 18th or 19th century. I cannot believe that we're that absurd. Freemasonry is being renewed all the time, every day. For anyone to get up on their back legs and say that the past is the essence of Masonry is simply lost, simply doesn't understand the direction. It's always moving forward. It was a rationalization. Was it an ideology at the time? Well, you know, I don't even know how the whole process of ideology works, except through culture. Ideology, that's simply a system of ideas and ideals. Usually they form the basis for economic or political theory or policy. I guess we have a currency. It's really a stiff one for us to live up to. This whole notion of the various levels of charity and anonymity, the things that perhaps strike discord with a lot of people's need to understand and know, is when things come out of the shadows. When you don't know who the people are, those things that come out of the shadows can seem sinister and are often, and zealots will often take advantage to point that out. Nothing to do with an examination of the facts. For instance, you must be up to something. You must be up to something if you're dedicating wealth or you're dedicating financial support to research, even though you claim there's no strings attached. Well, I think we always have strings attached, but the string, the biggest string, seems to be hard to accept for a lot of people, including a lot of Masons. The string being that sense of the common good, being able to contribute, to in some way contribute to the greater good of other people. Now, I know I live in a world where there are many who would not even consider in the darkest recesses of their mind the sense of value that comes from supporting or helping someone else without expecting them on bended knee groveling for it. I've seen meanness in Masonic decisions about benevolence, a real misogynist meanness. And yet I walk away disappointed, but better off for the experience, because then I understood more than I wanted to about the people I was with. Terrible. But life, as we move on, doesn't just teach us lessons that are happiness and gleeful. I'm reading Duff Cooper's letters to his wife Diana during the First World War. Proud man, as captain, as an officer, and you know, distinguished service, that type of thing. Oxford educated. He played down the misery, played down the fear of being killed as the battalions moved forward in France. Interesting that the man didn't, to me, that was able to contain himself to be entertaining for his girlfriend at the time, Diana, but always remain connected, that he was able to value their relationship far more than anything going on in his life. You can imagine his life was the mortality, the futility of war. The German soldiers no more wanting to kill than the British soldiers. Whole communities and villages gone, nothing but craters and mud. If there is a definition for misery, I think those images are quite capable of filling our minds. But there are other areas of misery in the world. Masonry, more than ever, is in the moment. You are in the moment. You don't have a choice. You and I can waste our time by trying to linger in the past. Oh, I'm going to learn some obscure dialect. Do you know that there's a number of languages every single year that just vanish from the face of the earth? Oh, you and I are worried about what we're doing to wildlife? Well, if we're not, we should be. But the various languages, you know, that whole notion of Babel. Well, you didn't get along. You weren't very dutiful. So we're going to make you all speak different languages, and then you won't understand each other. And that'll teach you for not being subservient. That'll get you. Well, here's a little message to the idealist that came up with that notion. We're going back there. We're speaking common language just because we don't care about the others enough, or there's too few speakers enough to sustain the dialects and languages that have been part of the history of a lot of people. Interesting, I don't think time has a valence. I don't think it's a positive or a negative. It just is. Time is. And I think it does stretch and it does curve, I think. I'm tending to think it might loop. Isn't that interesting? And you and I don't really have choices in these kind of matters. But we do have consciousness. And that consciousness allows us to make determinations, right or wrong. And often, the lessons that we learn from our decisions are out of sight because of time. The time frame in order to see the effect of our thinking and our decisions is so broad that we lose perspective. It's like the leaders in the EU losing the perspective of the men and women in the marketplace who were trying to make a living and being undercut by new faces, people from other countries who had nowhere near the same standard of living, capable and eager of doing exactly the same tradesman's work at a lot less cost. Nobody faults the businessman or the builder for hiring the lowest cost, cutting his costs and hiring the lowest cost electrician or the plumber, the Polish plumber that was sort of ridiculed across Britain. Nobody criticizes the businessman for doing that. It was left to the people on the street. People saying, hey, what's, you know, I didn't do anything. I'm going about my business and paying my bills. I've got rent and kids are in school. And that's what the leaders forgot. The perspective on the street is a lot different than at arm's length. And so we see the pushback. Enough. Because there's that sense that people making decisions and influencing have not been listening. We have to catch up. It's time. It's really important. Masonry brings to the world its capacity to listen. We bring that sincerity and authenticity. Not as a message at the point of a sword or under threat, but because there's some value in it, because it has impact. I'll share with you a little bit about the commentary that I developed for today, and this is quite short, and I think it speaks about not being heard. It's a monstrously a painful lesson. A lot of small children learn it. You, especially if you came through a time where if children were talking, they were given beatings, that silence was golden. A good child was a silent child. The suppression of the existence of children. Well, there's a large part of, I put to you, gentlemen, that there's a large part of Masonry that is functionally invisible. Functionally invisible. And we know this if we start to look. I consider it the dark matter of Masonry. And it's in that dark matter where the character of Masonry has been built. So I entitled this commentary, Silence Ignored, The Character Building Dark Matter of Masonry. While we have been sitting still, puzzled about our next step, the world has changed as it ever does. Partial gain. It would be odd to think Masonic lodges have been immunized to cultural change, would it not? Unless we declared our collective preoccupation with history is enough to carry us forward, our actions would reveal so much more than any sentiment. We live in the moment, moving toward tomorrow. Yesterday is past. That's simply the point, many points in this, I think. Why have we apparently been not playing the piano in Grandma's parlor? Because, you know, we want to save it. We've been doing it because we haven't had a direction. We haven't had a goal. a tangible goal, not a goal at arm's length, large scale, but a tangible, meaningful goal for us and our boys. We haven't had goals. So we've stopped as if not having a goal meant it was safer. Not having a destination, then it was safer to stand still and do nothing. When in doubt, do nothing. It was safer that way. But along comes people studying masonry. I'll put this to you. Is masonry about character development? Is it? Is it about the destination or the journey? You tell me. For people like me, I think masonry has always been about the journey, and that's a fascinating aspect. I was so fortunate to have remarkable mentors. Many of them still advise me in ways that they may not realize. But the journey, the quality and character to be able to make decisions that may have earn the disfavor of somebody, to be able to handle that peer pressure is remarkable. Remarkable. To be able to handle when somebody is saying something that's absolutely invalid and to be able to walk away and feel that you know your own mind is an absolutely remarkable truth of life. How you live day by day isn't about whether you please everybody around you. It's whether you're doing the right thing. Living in the past seems ridiculous, but it happens all the time, doesn't it? If I bury my sweetheart one day and she dies before me, and I exist with this shrine to her around me, and I don't smile anymore, and I don't laugh, and I don't go to the garden, and I don't take the walk, and I don't enjoy the sunshine and the music around us, seems a waste, doesn't it? Beyond that, so serious, it's beyond criticism. And only somebody very close to that man will come up and say, you know, she wouldn't want this for you either. Because that's as true as true as true. Because living for the dead is punishment. There's a meanness. Don't live your life anymore because I want you to show misery and sadness because it creates value for our relationship. Really? That's what you get from, that's what you take away from your Masonic values. That's it? Holy crap. Things are important around us. We're grown men and it's important that we treat them and value them for what they are. But we are fools to try and stop living. Fools try to stop living. Because it's only an attempt. We are always living. We are either being productive or we're wasting our time. It's a foolish man that does that. Here, listen to some of this. I don't always have the phrasing for this, but I'm just taken by the work of William Wordsworth. Poets seem to be able to capture the emotion of the world. It's as if the earth was a friend or a personality. So this is a William Wordsworth. He helped with Samuel Coleridge, you know, the Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner, Coleridge. They launched something that became known as the Romantic Age in English literature. So here he says, "Our birth is but a sleep and a forgetting. The soul that rises with us, our life star, hath had elsewhere its setting in comet from afar. Not in entire forgetfulness, and not in utter nakedness, but trailing clouds of glory do we come from God, who is our home. Happier of happy though I be, like them I cannot take possession of the sky, mount with a thoughtless impulse and wheel there, one of a mighty multitude whose way and motion is a harmony and dance magnificent. The world is too much with us, late and soon, getting and spending, we lay waste our powers. Little we see in nature that is ours. We lay waste our powers. What? Us waste our powers? Upstart. Do you want to know why I think what William Wordsworth had relevance for masonry? Get a grip. He said the best portion of a good man's life is in his little, nameless, unremembered acts of kindness and of love. Amazing. We're looking around for the ethos of masonry. I think somebody, somewhere, was reading Wordsworth. I am already kindly disposed toward you. That's what a mason is toward brethren. Kindly disposed toward you. My friendship is not in my power to give. This is a gift which no man can make. It is not in our own power. A sound and healthy friendship is the growth of time and circumstance. It will spring up and thrive like a wildflower while these favor. And when they do not, it is in vain to look for it. Saying the search for a friendship is vanity. Oof, ouch. William, be kind. Just be kind. Just the way you are, Diana Krall.
Don't go dry. I can talk to you.
Yeah, it just does it, doesn't it, eh? You know, Christmas is coming. Whether we're of all whether we accept the religion of all men that Masonry points out to us, or we follow the faiths of our grandfathers. This is a holiday coming up on the Christian calendar that transcends the markets and the greed and the avarice and the hubris of North America. Replace that in your imaginations with a heartfelt sincerity. We have 27 days till Christmas. Plenty of time for you to begin to think about thoughtful gifts, thoughtful remembrances, thoughtful symbols to share. Now, whether you're Muslim or Christian or Jew or Baha'i or Jain or Hindi, it's a time when you can share with us this notion of generosity, of giving, of appreciation, of love. And the more sincere you are, the more you express yourself. It's not like shopping for the right thing, it's feeling. It's that feeling that you have toward the people around you and expressing it in a thoughtful and caring way. One day we will be Munich, we will be Amsterdam, one day we will be Brussels, but right now we're here, we're young, we're audacious. Masonry is offering nothing more than opportunity to grow. And does that generate happiness? Only with a lot of work. If you've ever been in around a rehab program and you've seen little children recovering or old men recovering from pretty serious illness, you see the effort in their expression. Effort that requires that they overcome pain. And they're willing to do that, to do whatever it takes to regain function to appreciate and linger over the simple things, being able to stand unassisted, being able to turn, being able to hear the music around us. This is masonry. Now, masonry is a series of acts. We commit. Ritual helps us do that. And no matter how long it has been since you witnessed a ritual, it speaks to us in a universal language. It's compelling. It draws us in. It draws in the imagination and the history and the aspiration and the fears of a man, the unknown. There are more expressions of masonry around us that are not acknowledged. It is as Wordsworth said. It's those little things, the little nameless, unremembered acts of kindness and love. They're unremembered. Those are the things, the best portion, that's the best part of you. Oh, our little egos like the pat in the head and the urgings. And for a lot of us, we like to offer them. We always like to offer encouragement. It makes us feel good. So we can't have joy and happiness unless we respect sadness and loneliness. We can't, and it's time to grow up about it, we can't solve all of the problems, and nor are we expected, unless we're head injured, when we realize the depths of difficulty and the challenge of problems around us. That's not to say we have to give up, that it's the end because we don't see solutions. Remember, you're a mason. If you have a desire in your heart to bring magic from the stone, then you need to develop the skills. Nobody's going to start you off with design and composition. They're going to start you off hewing straight lines in the quarry, square corners, the cube, and do that until you're doing it and you're enjoying it and you're good at it. That's what teaches you the mastery of your tools. And then they become an extension of you. But that takes repeated effort. Masonry takes repeated effort. We only live in the moment. That's all we are today. So today, feel the inspiration of being a mason. You deserve it. Accept the loutishness and the politicians around you for who they are. They are what they are. True mason, that's their struggle to be a true mason. They're not our work. You are your work. I am my work. You have your journey. I have my journey. Enjoy it. The hell with it. If anybody, if I ever say that to any of you, I just want you to slap me silly. I don't expect you to enjoy the journey. I expect you to get something from it. Something that's life-changing. If you find satisfaction in your life, you are bloody lucky. If you find love somewhere in your life, you are fortunate. If you're a sentimentalist and you linger and you slobber, well, good, fine, it's good. But there are many, many ways of appreciating and developing your character. But it's all going to happen inside your head. The true change, nobody's going to pick up on. Because nobody knows, you begin to show it by your behavior. And it's your consistency. And boy, is it hard to be able to control your emotion, and that means examining your emotion. Oh, that's painful. To become more temperate, to develop game phase, not to reveal yourself too soon, to learn to be watchful for the underlying meaning, to be curious about where the conversation is going. Remarkable. Yesterday, I ran into the fellow that doesn't talk to me unless he feels that he can get something from me. And it was wonderful. It was just so enlightening because he was meeting and greeting people all around me, but he couldn't make eye contact, and I was invisible to him. And I felt that connection with this guy for the first time. I have always been invisible. Many of the people around. Do I get? Yeah, maybe that's one of my vanities. I feel that smugness when I understand something. When I understand, when you get it. Masonry will help you get it. The values and lessons are simply profound. They're not simple at all. They're simply profound. So let them stick to you a little bit. Our projects and the things going on around us are remarkable. We're like a beehive of activity, which may be why we used to have the beehive as a symbol. It's sort of fallen out of favor lately, but and we can be sentimental, absolutely. And we can struggle with the arcane language and puzzle at the confusion of some of the ritual. But it all speaks out of the silence. All those fellows who have become Masons, who have went on to study and understand and don't attend because attending is not for them, or those men in the world that find satisfaction without having their ego stroked, the men that find satisfaction without having to belong to something that redefines them, those men are drawn magnetically to Masonry, and they're out there orbiting. They're out there right now, hundreds of thousands of them, in the silence of the space, studying and examining and understanding and making breakthroughs and stumbling and feeling in their hearts that they are understanding the journey and the voice of Masonry. Now, they remain invisible until we listen for them. We listen for the silence. And what that tells us, what does that teach us? Yeah, good question, eh? Today has been a remarkable day. This is a remarkable day to be a Mason. And gentlemen, believe in your hearts that the world needs more of the Mason. It's important not to lecture, not to try and challenge or criticize or come up with bizarre notions. Pay attention. Pay attention. How do you make the conversation flow? And here's what Masonic Effects and I expect of you. I expect that a good Mason lives their life without causing inconvenience to anybody. Oh, and when I think these things, I sometimes just sink into a nice sulk or a funk. But it's true. You can live. It does something to you. It inspires. It makes you feel good inside, from personal experience. Those fleeting moments when I can do that. It's remarkable. Now I'm going to give you a fleeting moment as we sign off for this week. And I hope that it's been useful. I hope it makes a point. Think about this. I hope you do as you go about your business. You do make a difference. And I did find a couple of months ago, I chased down a bit of music. I found it and played it. Had no idea who this person was. Well, I found her. She, her name is Isabelle Gregoire. She's French, born in Paris. And she goes by the name Zaz. She's been compared in Paris to Edith Piaf. Effervescent, energetic, youthful, lovely. And here's that song I'm going to play for you. This is Je Vu. It's just a remarkable, defining piece of music. Thanks for being with us again. I look forward to seeing you next week. We're climbing into Christmas. Get your dust off your thoughtfulness, you old buggers. Reach out.
Coucou mec, une noise, c'est Zaz, et on va vous faire Je veux, avec Ilan Abou à la basse, et Diem Giel à la guitare. Enchanté, tout le monde.
Yeah.
One, two, three, guitare!
Thank you.